Today in the Catalyst studio, we have Chief Impact Officer at the Bright Community Trust, Frank Wells. Welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be here with you.
And you're doing some interesting new work. The Bright Community Trust is starting to take more of a regional view of housing. And we hear a lot about specific projects, specific areas of town. Why have you chosen to go regional?
Well, Joe, if we look at the scale of the problem, right, you realize that in 2015, we had 17,000 households just in the city of St. Petersburg that spent more than half their income on housing. When you look at the 2017 numbers, the latest numbers we have, you know that number went up to 19,000. So in spite of our best efforts and other great organizations like Habitat for Humanity, Neighborhood Home Solutions, all the work that the city's done to confront this problem, we're going backwards. So what we're seeing is the market for housing in St. Pete, it's a very attractive place to live. Lots and lots of folks want to live here. That's pushing up our housing costs. And that means that a lot of ordinary working folks can't afford to stay in town here. And what we find is when somebody spends too much of their money on housing, if you spend more than half your income in your housing, you probably can't afford a car. If you do own a car, good luck. If it breaks down, you probably can't afford to get it fixed. And that probably means you lose your job. You also can't afford the kind of good, healthy food that you'd like to be feeding your family. You don't have a chance to give your kids educational opportunities that you'd like for them to have to really give them more opportunities down the road. So there are a lot of bigger trade-offs that come with spending too much money on the rent. But what we realized when we started talking about the scale of the problem and what to do about it, we did some strategic planning work last year, and I think it's a really fascinating, instructive story. We were in a room with our board and our staff. Our CEO was talking about a project that we've been looking at for Pinellas County, where we would take 46 single-family homes and build a certain portion of them for lower-income folks, another group of homes that would be for more moderate-income folks, and a big cluster then that would be market rate. And one of our consultants said, let me stop you all for just a second. 46 houses seems like a pretty big project. Like, that's a whole new subdivision. That'd be a big deal for you guys, right? Is that going to move the needle on the need for affordable housing in Pinellas County? And Anthony, our CEO, laughed and said, well, no, if you wanted that number, that's probably 12,000. And then you'd think you're making a good start. And this consultant says, well, then are we here to talk about where the next 46 houses are coming from? Or are we here to talk about where the next 12,000 houses are coming from? Because those are two different conversations and two different organizations. So you all get to pick which track do you want to follow. And since then, we've been thinking a lot about what organization is doing that. Really gave us the realization, nobody is out there taking a comprehensive look at what it would take to create a real comprehensive regional housing affordability plan where we would understand everything from the very bottom, lowest income folks, our seniors who are living on just Social Security, for instance, who really need subsidized, publicly supported housing, to the next tier up, the folks who live in a Habitat for Humanity house, a single mom who's struggling to make ends meet on a $10 or $12 an hour job and no benefits. And then another rung up the ladder to the nurse, the teacher, the firefighter who maybe needs just a little strategic help, not so much a subsidy, but the right houses being built in the right places so that they can afford to buy their first house, settle down here, and raise a family in town. And then all the way up to where are we building the houses for people with a growing family and a growing income. What we realize is we're building a lot of houses. Average house built in the city of St. Pete, average new home construction was $500,000 last year, give or take. That's out of reach for most working families. So we just need to nudge the for-profit sector into building a little farther down that housing ladder. How do we create the incentives that make it worthwhile to build that $250,000, $300,000 house that a lot of working families could afford if we were building at that price point? So we've really been strategizing how to come up with that kind of strategy. And some of that, of course, is about actual construction, actually finding the land to make it possible. And that's a real challenge in the city of St. Pete and Pinellas County, where we're landlocked and largely built out. But a lot of that, too, is about finding the right policy incentives, finding the right financing that can make that possible for nonprofit organizations and for the smaller for-profit developers who can do that kind of 1, 2, 3 house infill project. And then it's also got to, of course, be about communication strategy. How do we talk to people about, when we say affordable housing, sometimes that's a scary term, but what we mean is We'd like you to be able to build a garage apartment behind your house so that a recent college graduate has got a place to live when they get their first job working here in St. Petersburg. That kind of homes that are affordable aren't so scary, but we've got to be careful about how we use that language and really communicate on this issue with people.
So a lot of those stats are available locally. And then as you move to regionally and aggregate the stats and start to get a different picture, how does that change the nature of the work that you're doing, the nature of the strategy that you're building? Is it more than about regional policy, or do you get some sort of economies of scale because you're dealing with a bigger area? What's the difference between thinking regionally and thinking locally?
Well, I'll give you one great example. I was working with the city of Dunedin recently. They've been trying to think through how you do affordable homes in Dunedin and anywhere close to downtown Dunedin. That land costs $1 million an acre. So good luck building a home that somebody can afford. So they had a project of USF's urban planning school looking at what some of their alternatives were. And I was talking with them about what Bright Community Trust does. We've worked with the city of Dunedin on some really cool projects in the past. And one of these planners said to me, okay, you know, we've done a 20-minute interview about a lot of technical issues here. Is there anything else you'd like to include in my notes that's going up to the city's housing folks to talk about housing affordability? I said, yes, please put in the notes that the answers for homes that people who work in Dunedin can afford are probably not in Dunedin. We've got to talk about this at a regional scale. Affordable housing for Dunedin is probably in Clearwater or Largo, or, you know, that we can't think about everything stopping at the city limits. Even in cities as big as St. Pete and Tampa, the right solutions have got to include looking at this as a regional scale issue. Maybe we need to be talking about where Pasco County fits in all this. We've got to include talking about better transportation options.
I was going to say that forces you into the transportation conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is all kind of part and parcel of the same problem. So looking at these things kind of regionally helps you from that perspective when you start to realize, even for alleviating some of the housing pressure in St. Petersburg, those answers are, you know, unincorporated mid-Pinellas County, it's Pinellas Park, it's, you know, those parts of the county, and may well be down across the bridge in Manatee County, maybe some of Hillsborough County up in Pasco even. But it also does help you get to scale when you start thinking about beyond a lot here and two lots over there. And when we start to look at things as regionally, not thinking about every parcel as a new place to build one single house, but how do we aggregate things in a way that, oh, we can take those four vacant lots and we can build a 10-unit apartment building on those. That gets us 2.5 times as far on the same amount of dirt.
And are you able to share communication with the other entities? You mentioned a few at the beginning of our conversation, Habitat, and now you're taking that to other cities as well. And so I'm assuming there's some good value in sharing information and trying to bring these groups together, at least as far as from a communication standpoint.
So one of the things that we're really excited about, we got awarded a major grant from the Foundation for Healthy St. Pete to convene the local nonprofits that actually build housing in South St. Pete. So that's us, it's Habitat for Humanity, Neighborhood Home Solutions, a few more. That lets us all get around one table and talk about where are there some synergies. I'll just give you one example. There's a great local organization called Pathways to Success, started by a local guy in South St. Pete. He's been able to use his community roots to literally go knock on doors and say, I see a vacant lot next to your house. Is that for sale? Because if so, I'd like to talk about building a new house on it. He's collected a lot of lots by virtue of having those kind of community connections in a way that a lot of the rest of us haven't been able to locate. On the other hand, you look at an organization like Habitat for Humanity, they're looking for ways that they can scale up and build even more homes. So the conversation's starting about, okay, great, how do we align your resources and your resources, and maybe we can collaborate here. It's let us also share policy suggestions. So we're working with the city of St. Pete on some things that we can do that would improve housing affordability for people just by changing a couple things in zoning code that make it a little less expensive to build still high quality, good, safe, healthy homes in South St. Pete.
And where are you? And the grant's been issued, and have you had the first meeting yet, or how far are you down that road?
So it was a lengthy process. We applied last May and finally got awarded this March.
Congratulations.
Yeah. pretty exciting. 10 months of work.
And that's one of their, is it called impact grants?
That's one of their transformational grants.
Transformational grants, right.
Yeah. So the largest round of funding that they've done so far. And in late March, that group met for the first time. We just had a second meeting and already seeing a lot of great ideas bouncing around. We collectively put together a letter to the city of St. Pete with some recommendations on things that they could change in the zoning code that would let us build a little less expensively. And you know that every couple thousand dollars you save makes that home accessible to a few more families in the city of St. Pete. So when we can collectively make recommendations that save $10,000 to $15,000 per house, that makes it accessible to several hundred more families in the community who might be able to now afford to buy their first house. And then we know that when you buy that house, you start to build some household wealth, you build some equity in your home. That over the long term really helps transform outcomes for families because you got a little bit more resiliency in the budget. You're typically saving a little bit on your housing costs over the long term because your mortgage payment doesn't go up the way that rent goes up 5 years, 10 years down the road. That lets you save some money toward retirement, save toward a kid's education, save for an emergency. So being able to buy a first home like that is a really big benefit for a family.
It's wonderful. And did the group get a name or is it just...
The group doesn't have a name yet. We actually were talking about this on email this past week. It started out having a name and the name changed as the nature of the grant changed. So we'll get back to you on what this coalition of nonprofits in South St. Pete's called.
Okay. Wonderful. And if people listening to this want to learn more, contribute, get involved, how can they do that?
So the website is thebrightway.org. That'll get you to Bright Community Trust. It talks a lot about our great programs. We operate a community land trust that serves our Tampa Bay region, and we're expanding the work now over to serve Orlando and Central Florida. Last January, I was asked to serve on a working group over in Orlando. The Central Florida Foundation, which is their 7-county regional community foundation, said, you know, UCF's going to be building a new downtown campus. It's in Paramore, which is a community a lot like Midtown St. Pete would be. So imagine if we were going to plop a new university campus with 7,500 students opening next fall, what that would do to the residents of a neighborhood that's predominantly African American, that's low income, high unemployment, high poverty, and that has only a 10% home ownership rate. You plop all those students, faculty, staff in there, and all of a sudden you see rents going through the roof, property prices going through the roof, and the residents of the neighborhood get displaced. So they said, we've convened a working group. It's the city of Orlando, it's Orange County, it's UCF and Valencia College, it's the foundation, it's a bunch of other nonprofits. We think one of the key pieces here might be to establish a regional housing trust to try to preserve affordability in this neighborhood. And we know that you all at Bright Community Trust are already doing that for Pinellas and Tampa Bay. Would you come over and talk with us about what that looks like? Sure, absolutely. You can pick my brain all you want. A few months into it, we realized, we can keep coming to all these meetings and talking about how you could start something from scratch, or maybe a better solution is for us to expand over here and hit the ground running with an experienced staff, with a big balance sheet, with a portfolio of real estate, having already been through this and learned a lot of the lessons. So we're moving forward with that now to launch a regional housing trust that'll serve Central Florida as well, starting in that Paramore neighborhood. So we hope to break ground on a few new single family homes and one kind of mid-sized apartment project by the end of the year. This year, we're already having conversations around the entire region. So up into Sanford, Seminole County, and down into Kissimmee, Osceola County, as well as around some of the rest of the city of Orlando and Orange County, what it looks like to be doing the same kind of thing that we've been talking about doing over here, creating a regional comprehensive housing affordability strategy. So pretty exciting stuff.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So going at it from two different ends, expanding the trust out east and building the coalition here locally.
Yeah.
That's enough to keep somebody busy.
Keeps me on the road a lot and brings me right back to wishing we'd answer that transportation question because I spend a ridiculous amount of time on I-4 and that is not my favorite traffic in the world.
All right. We'll hit that one next. I appreciate your stopping by and always love watching the good work that you're doing and appreciate it greatly.
Great. Thanks so much, Joe. Appreciate all y'all do and we'll talk to you soon.